Dear Father, Lord, we are so thankful for your goodness. A goodness that overcame our sinfulness. Through sending your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your love, your plan, your will. That we might experience that goodness of the forgiveness of sins. We might experience the goodness of life everlasting. We might experience the goodness of walking with you through this life and for all eternity. And we'll give you our praise. Lord, now as we open your word, just move through us. Have us to do your will. And Lord, may we respond to what your Spirit is leading us to do, that we might be your people. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As you're being seated, our kids are going to be dismissed for Kids Connect. If you will, take your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 3. So we're working our way through Acts, and especially through this month of January, and our theme of refresh. Tonight, we're going to cap it all off with our vision banquet and look at how we can take this theme into this coming year. And some exciting things that we're going to get back to, some exciting things that we're going to begin, and some movements forward. And so this morning, as we look here in Acts chapter 3, we now have seen the day of Pentecost. We've seen this exciting explosion that's happening with the gospel witness, and the church is growing and exploding. 3,000 souls have been added. And we see all the excitement of chapter 2, and now, and beginning in chapter 3, we're going to begin to see it move forward. And we're going to begin to see the witness moving from the church. And as we come to chapter 3, we're going to see that the world is going about its day. The world is going about its routine. The temple sacrifices were going on. The temple worship was happening, and it was the hour of prayer. It was what they were used to. It was the routine schedule. It was their routine busyness. You know, when your alarm goes off and you feel like, I've done this before. You get up and it's a routine busyness, and every day has that routine. It has that order. Or some of you might not be that orderly, and it's just a chaos from the moment you wake up, and whatever happens, happens. But as we go through life, we get into a routine busyness, and this is what was happening. They were in their routine business. All this was going on. This lame man was being carried to this beautiful gate, just like he had been time and time again. He was going through the routine busyness that he had come to expect in his life. And for this man, it was a routine lameness. You know, to deal with this for over 40 years, this was his normal life. His normal was lameness. His normal was not being able to walk. His normal was his feet. His ankles weren't strong enough. His legs didn't work. And so he would go to beg alms. One preacher said he went asking for alms and all he got were legs. Some of y'all, y'all need to lighten up a little bit, all right? Come on. But he was in this routine of his lameness. Like I said earlier, he was trying to survive in his lameness. He was going to church trying to survive in the lameness. I tell you, if the church is full of a bunch of lame people, we got a problem. It should be a place filled with joyful people. Something beautiful was about to happen, and is about to happen at the beautiful gate. Look here, Acts chapter 3, and let's read down here through verse 10. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and he began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This was not a lame day at church. This was an exciting day. You know, it's interesting. You know, some of our kids teachers can probably tell you just as well. There are days that you walk in and sometimes it's routine. And then there's days that you walk in and it is going to be anything but routine. I don't know if y'all remember how we've had our fair share of technical difficulties through the years as we were getting new technologies in place. And some days the screens wouldn't be working, and some day the sound would be cracking back and forth. And you know, those days when I took the microphone and just had to throw it off my ear and grab a handheld mic and try to work. And it's just kind of an organized chaos going on. And sometimes we get so comfortable in our routines that it gets nice and easy just to kind of go through. This was not a routine day. This was a change, and something was beginning to happen. Now we are seeing, after this day of Pentecost, after all these believers have been added to the church and to the congregation, and now Luke is beginning to dictate and show us the story of how the gospel witness is beginning to go forward. Remember in Acts 1, it started in Jerusalem. It was to start into Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then to the whole world. And so now we are beginning to see this talked about. We are seeing the movement of witness going out to the world, starting in Jerusalem. Their mission started at home, and it's beginning to move out to the world. If we are going to refresh the world, our world starts right here. And we begin to refresh our world and those around us, and we begin to spread as we continue to move outward. And as we see the beginning of this movement outward, I want you to see how the refreshing of the world began to happen through the movement of witness. The first thing we see is to value individuals. To value individuals. As chapter 3 begins here, it focuses in on this lame man. And we are going to begin to see how this impact and this story and what is happening in this miracle in this lame man is going to push forth the witness of the gospel. A man, lame from birth, was being carried. They lay him at the beautiful gate. What's interesting is this gate was called beautiful because they believe it to be the gate that was different from the other gates. In the temple, they would have different courtyards, and they'd have different places that people could go into, different places that you could be worshiping in different areas. They had the court of the Gentiles, and that was the outermost court because the Gentiles weren't allowed inside. And if they were to pass through the gates inside, it was worthy of death, was a sign that was posted. Then you had the court of women, and women were allowed to come to a certain point. And then there was another court, a court of the men. And then they had the holy place where only the priest would go. And then the holy of holies, where the high priest was the only one that would ever go in. And they had all these levels, all these different places, and they had these gates that separated these different places. This beautiful gate, they believe, was the one that would separate the court of the women and the men. And it was a gate that was built out of Corinthian bronze. It was different from the other gates. They called it beautiful. He was put at this gate because people would be passing through it quite often. And one of the tenets of Judaism was charity. That they were called on to be charitable. And so he would sit there at the gate and he would beg of alms, expecting them to be practicing what they believed. And here is this one that day by day people passed by. Day by day he sat at this gate. Day by day this individual went through life at this gate unchanged. But on this day something happened. A difference in the individual. The life changed. And it made a big difference. Because notice as you go on down in verse number 9. It says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Here we see this value of this individual, because once the life began to change, this miracle that happened to him, people knew him for his lameness. But let me tell you, going forward, he wasn't known for lameness anymore. He was known for life. He was known for power. He was known for the work of God in his life. He was known for the power of Jesus' name. I wonder that maybe if we valued individuals, we could see people turn from being known for their past to being known for what Jesus did for them in their future. For what Jesus did in their life. Because you see what happened and what started with one individual would continue on and grow into something that changed the whole community. You can see it at the beginning of chapter 4. As all this was happening, and then Peter's going to get up. He's going to preach again. He's going to point people to Jesus. All because of what's happening. Peter and John are going to be arrested because they're preaching Jesus. And in chapter 4, verse 4, it says, but many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. I don't know about you, but I'd love to be a part of that church. One day they see 3,000 people get saved. You talk about a baptismal service. And then the next time we see them speaking, there's 5,000 people getting saved. But before we get to that 5,000, the movement of witness. Folks, look at this. It started with one person. Don't underestimate the difference you can make in one person's life. Don't underestimate the value of reaching just one person for the gospel. Don't underestimate that one person that's in your life that maybe you've been witnessing to for years, that maybe you've been talking to for years about Jesus Christ. Don't underestimate and don't give up. Because the power that's in Jesus' name can transform the lameness into life. Value the individual. William Carey was impressed by the Moravians and their missionary spirit. And he's known as one of the father of the modern mission movement. And William Carey went to India. There's just a few people in India. And he began to minister in India. And it was tough. it was a hard road for them. They lost a son to disease when they were there. There went so many years. No response. No converts. After 7 years, they finally found and saw their first convert, Krishna Paul. And that one convert, when he came to Christ, he would go on to be a gospel preacher to his own people. I went to a mission field with a missionary in Mexico, and we were in the southern state of Chiapas in Mexico. When he went there to minister, he was trying to make an impact and witness and all these different things. And finally, he just started mailing out an offer for a free Bible study. And he put out hundreds of thousands of mailers, and they put them out throughout the cities and the different places. And he got 6 responses. Out of all the thousands of responses, he got 6 responses back. And he took those 6 men and he began to work with them, and they came to Christ and they began to grow up in him and be discipled. And they became the preachers to their own people. There were parts of people called the Tseltal Indians there in Chiapas. And when I was there with this missionary, some 40 to 50 years after the ministry had began, there were literally hundreds of congregations in these remote villages like Jericho, and this remote village called La Ventana, and this remote village called La Zapata, and all these different places that we were visiting, because of one man started with just a small group of 6 guys. Don't underestimate what God could do with one person on your heart. And start with that one person. Start praying for that one person. Start looking towards that one person. Value individuals. And who knows how God can do with one more than we could ever imagine. And what he may do with that one. A Sunday school teacher. Kids ministry teacher, those days when they are just being annoying, who knows what God's going to do with that kid that you're teaching. I was a bratty preacher kid at one point, and I'll never forget Miss Diane Cannon, that would show up every Sunday, and there were many Sundays I was the only one in the class. I was the only one in the group. We used to sing the kids' songs, and we had these little books of words, and I'd be the one holding the song book and trying to sing at the same time. It's really a pathetic scene now that I think about it. But she taught me as if there was a room full of people. Miss Cannon led me to the Lord. Don't devalue what God can do with one individual. The next thing we see here is to be aware of intersections. Look at chapter 3, verse 4. Be aware of the intersections. It says, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and he said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. You know, a lot of times as we read scripture, we can, you know, read through it quickly, and we can at times be so comfortable with how scripture works and how the stories go about that we can just read through it and not kind of stop and realize the situation. Here's this beggar sitting on the steps of the temple every day begging. Every day he's calling out, he's asking for alms, he's asking for these things. Here come Peter and John, and they're coming in, and obviously there had been something going on. There had been some kind of ruckus because this town was going ablaze with all these new converts and new people, the baptisms, or all these people. Peter is the one that stood up and preached in front of all these guys. And they're going to the beautiful gates. And they're coming in, and all of a sudden the beggar's over here. He's crying out for alms, and he cries out for alms from Peter. And Peter, the scripture says there, he directed his gaze. The word has an idea that he stopped and he fixated. He looked intently at the beggar. he stopped and he looked over towards him. And I can just see a dramatic pause as Peter is turning and he's looking at this beggar. And there's just this fixation. What am I going to do? What's going to happen? The beggar's saying, I want some alms. I'm just asking for alms. And he has directed his gaze, his focus at him. And then he says this. He commands him. He says, look at us. I don't know, I'm kind of thinking, well, where else am I looking? But he says, look at us. Parents, you know this, right? When your kids are doing whatever they're doing and you're trying to get their attention. Hey, look at me right here. Eyes on me, right? And you are trying to get them focused. Finley sees that as a challenge. As soon as I say, look at us, it's... And so you have to grab him, box him by the ears. All right, Finley, look at me. All right, I need you looking right here, bud. Look at us. And then what it says there from the beggar, and he fixed his attention. The word here has an idea of he was especially observant, and it has a connotation of hopeful. If someone says, stop, look at me at the beautiful gate, all of a sudden his expectations are changing. Yes, here comes some relief. Here comes some alms. Here comes something that might help me through today. Here was now this intersection, this play, this story that was continuing to happen day by day of this beggar standing at the gate begging for alms. Peter now is coming about and all of a sudden we see a change. There's a new intersection. There's a new awareness of what is happening. And Peter then begins to explain, I don't have silver or gold, but I've got something for you. Be aware of the intersections. You know what? One of the chief tricks of the devil is to keep you so busy that you're not aware of what's going on around you. To keep you so busy on your schedule, to keep you so busy in your life, to not be aware of how you can make an impact on someone else, of how you can make an impact for the name of Jesus Christ. That there might be people that are in your life that only you have a chance to make an impact on that other people don't have. Be aware of the intersections. Maybe we put down the phones more. Maybe we spend more time dealing with people. Look for the opportunities because people are seeking. I'll never forget, as a youth pastor, the church where I was at had a big heart for camp, much like our church here has. And they would always say, you know, it is as many as you could get to go to camp. We'll find sponsors. We'll do whatever we need to do. And the pastor would tell me, you know, as long as you can get the paperwork in, we'll take them up until the last minute. I said, as long as you can get the paperwork and they bring the right amount of clothes, we'll take them at the last minute. There's this young man that his mother was friends with some people in the church and they were telling him about camp and then, hey, it'd be great. Why don't you see if Michael wants to go? And so it was a Sunday going into leaving Monday morning type of thing. Hey, my friend's got this son. His name's Michael. He's a, you know, seventh grade. He's just going in. He'd be young, but I think he would really benefit from camp. All right. Last minute. Seventh grader. I'm excited. All right. He knows nobody. We get to camp and we were not there 10 minutes and this kid just begins to bawl. I'm like, here we go. I had a youth leader by the name of Rod, and Rod was working with him and he was, you know, trying to talk with him. And Rod was just kind of this grizzly type guy. And he said, well, Michael, come over here. Let's go get a snow cone. He goes and buys the kid a snow cone. It's amazing what a snow cone will do in a seventh grader's life. The tears stopped. All of a sudden, he's playing basketball. And then watch what God did in his life over that week. He comes to know Christ as his Savior. He begins coming to the ministry, coming to the church, and we see him get involved. Just a couple weeks ago, I haven't heard from Michael in ages. Out of the blue, I was at McDonald's at breakfast with Charlie. I have to take her to McDonald's for breakfast on Friday mornings because she's the princess. And we're there, and she's playing on the playground. I get this call, and I've had the same phone number since when I was a youth pastor. And it registers Michael Puente. And it floors me. I answer it, and there's Michael Puente. And long story short, he began, he said, I just wanted you to know the difference you played in my life. Out of the blue, it broke me down to see that sometimes we are so unaware of the interactions. There were so many different things that were going on at that camp and so many kids that wanted to be there and all these things. And here's this one kid breaking down who was wanting to go home. And because a youth leader bought him a snow cone at that intersection and that time, it made an eternal difference in his life. Beware of the intersections that God puts in your life. Because we can reach a world with these types of intersections. And then thirdly, we see the relay of the infused power. Verse 6, it says, but Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and he raised him up, and immediately his feet, his ankles were made strong. Now, Luke is writing this. Remember, Luke is a physician, and he uses words that most people don't typically think of. And he uses two words here that aren't used in any other place in the New Testament with feet and ankles. He gives a detailed description. It's the doctor's notes. He's giving the description here. But in this lameness, when Peter says, this is what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you the power through the name of Jesus Christ. It was Christ's power that did the miracle that day. It was Christ's power that changed the life of this lame man. And as the lame man is being changed, Peter reaches down. He takes him by the hand. He pulls him up. And Luke gives us the description. His ankles, his feet became strong. And he's standing where he never stood before. How did he know what it felt like to stand? How did he know what it felt like to have the road underneath his feet and his feet able to hold up his body weight? He had never known that before. Now all of a sudden it's here. And this is because Peter is relaying the infused power. This is what I have. I have the name of Jesus. And that's what I'm going to give you. Too many times we are trying to give people all the other things when what they need is Jesus. They need the power through Jesus' name. Relay the infused power. And what's interesting is when it says there in verse 7, his feet, his ankles were made strong. The word here in the tense and the voice, it's in the passive voice. In other words, this lame man didn't make his ankle strong, that they were made strong by an outside source. This is called a divine passive. In other words, God did the work. So what did Peter do? He offered the hand. So many times when we think about refreshing the world and we think about telling somebody about Christ, or we think about all these things that produce all this fear. What do I say? How do I bring about this? How do I talk theology or this or that? We go through our mind all these different things. And Scripture shows us time and time again to be a witness is just tell them about Jesus and put the hand out. It's God's got the power. The Holy Spirit is going to do the work. Be the witness. Just tell them. Relay the infused power. Are we imparting that gospel power, or are we trying to impart survival techniques? maybe a lot of our power that is being missing in our churches is because we're trying to learn how to survive in all this world instead of living off of the gospel power where he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And because of that, I can relay that. I can relay the power of Jesus Christ. I can relay that which has changed me. You see, when we see this beginning of the story here with this lame man in these first 10 verses, we see this miracle of healing. This miracle of healing is an outward show of what Jesus Christ is doing. That which was lame now has life and has freedom. That which was caught up in sin through Jesus Christ can walk in newness of life without the bondage of sin. We see here that we can refresh the world when we impart what we have. And we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the good news that Jesus came. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And then on the third day after he was buried, he rose again to show life over death, to show that death had been defeated, that sin had been paid for. And because of that, I can believe that Jesus Christ came and did that. I can believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I can believe that he is who he said he was. And I can confess to him, you are my Savior. That gospel that we have in him is now what we can impart to someone else. We don't have to rely on all these survival techniques to try to impart this life change. We can impart life change through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Impart what we have. Peter gave what he could give. The disciples were used to not living off of extravagance. But man, they could live off the power of Jesus Christ. Too many times we sell Jesus short instead of letting him do the work. We sell Jesus short even in our own lives, in our own hearts, because we let sin put us in a place of bondage when Jesus says, no, by grace you've been saved. You have that freedom. There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we put ourselves down and then we sell Jesus short when he's saying, no, my grace is sufficient for you. When you are weak, I am strong, and we can live in him in that. He can bring the life. And you see from this point forward and all the change that we are seeing in the life of this man moving forward, the past was defined by lameness, but his present and his future, it's defined by Jesus. Because we're going to see, they're going to ask Peter, they're going to ask John, hey, how did you do this? Everybody knew he was lame. How did you do this? Oh, it's by the power of the name of Jesus that this man is walking today. And because of it, we're going to see over 5,000 people believe. Maybe we need to impart more of what we have in the gospel and less of what we have in ourselves. And we can see the world refreshed. The world changed for his honor, his glory. Shall we stand this morning? As we stand this morning with our heads bowed, it's very easy for us to get caught up in all the logistics. It's very easy for us to get caught up in all the busyness It's very easy to get caught up in all the routine. But right now, I want you to think about an individual. I want you to think about your intersections. I want you to think about the power you can relay. Who is God putting in your heart, in your mind right now? Is it a family member? Is it a friend? Is it a coworker? Isn't it an acquaintance that you see every week? Who is an individual? Who is a one that is in your life that there are intersections with that you can impart that infused power to? Maybe this morning it's you. You've been looking for that power. You've been looking for that life change. You've been looking to get away from the lameness, and you're tired of just trying to survive in lameness, in bondage. So today, I want to tell you that there's power in the name of Jesus. And I'd love to show you how to know that power. In just a moment, we're going to begin to sing this time of response. The altar up front here is open for prayer. And I'm going to be standing here, and I'd love to be able to show you how you can know that power of Jesus in your heart and life today if you have never accepted Him as your Savior. If you know Christ, if you know that gospel power, how changed would we be if we focus on just one person in our lives that we could bring the gospel to? And who knows what God could do with that individual? Can you pray now? Can you lift up now that person? Say, Lord, you're laying him on my heart. I want to see you move in him and her. I want to see you move in their life. I want to be able to be used by you in their life. And what if we called out collectively today in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, help us reach one. Oh, what God could do in a heart and life. The altar is going to be open if you want to come and just bring that name to the Lord. This time of response is also a time if you need to follow the Lord in baptism. I'd love to show you how to take those steps. If you need a place to join with, to be a part of a church, you can come and meet me, and I'd love to show you how. But in this time of response, let's take what the Holy Spirit is doing in our hearts and respond to Him this morning. Our Father, we ask you to move. We ask you to do in our hearts and lives what only you can do. Lord, as your word has pointed us, I pray that we would respond. Use your spirit now, for it's in your name we pray.